Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, December 1st, 2021, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening's fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hal Lindsey. This was a Thanksgiving report he had out. Thankful for the Word of God. Now, you hear all the time, God's plan for your life is for you to have Thanksgiving every single day. And as a part of that Thanksgiving every single day, the winner believer, one of the things that he is thankful for every single day is the absolute truth of the Word of God. The God-breathed Scriptures. There is a living and true God. And He has written to you His thinking. It's absolute truth. It's the God-breathed Scriptures so that you can know the truth. We're living in a world that's this planet's controlled by a fallen angel. All there are is lies, 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 lies. You turn on a program on television, lies, lies, lies. And you have to listen to evil and lies on the stupid commercials. Just evil after evil after evil after evil. Enough to make me puke. And I don't watch TV. I like sports. In fact, before I was a Christian, sports were my God. That was replaced by Jesus Christ. I like sports. I enjoy sports, athletics, all different kinds. But even that makes you sick. And then you get all of the evil put on in the process. God has given you truth. The absolute truth of His Word. That you can learn and believe and anchor your soul to. You anchor your soul to truth. Not human viewpoint garbage. And that's why I don't counsel all these. There's so many idiotic Christian counselors out there that give you nothing but human viewpoint garbage. You don't need human viewpoint garbage. You need truth. The absolute truth of the Word of God. That's what you need. And God has given it to us in His Word. So when I saw this, thankful for the Word of God. Our primary knowledge of Jesus comes from the Bible. So how is it that so many people say they follow Jesus, but that they don't trust the Bible? How can a person who doesn't trust the Bible know that he is actually following Jesus? Jesus, the real Jesus, is revealed in the Bible. He's revealed in the God-breathed Scriptures. Can we know the real Jesus? Does the Bible provide a faithful record of God's revelation to mankind? Can we be sure? Yes, absolutely. The Bible is self-authenticating. And that means it proves itself. It does this by way of one of the ways is fulfilled prophecy. Remember that Bible prophecy is not vague like Nostradamus or hit and miss like so many modern people who claim to be prophets. The Bible is specific and it is 100% accurate. For instance, how could someone 2,000 or 3,000 years ago make an educated guess about 21st century technology? They couldn't. Yet the Bible says a great deal about it. And it's right on the money. Because prophecy proves the Bible's trustworthiness, we can completely trust the person it points to from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ. God's standards for those who claim to speak for Him are high. Impossibly high for a charlatan or a fraud. The book of Deuteronomy gives two ways to know if a prophet can be trusted. Deuteronomy 18, 21 and 22 addresses the question directly. Quote, "And you may say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" Which the Lord has not spoken. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about, or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, arrogantly, and you shall not be afraid of him. Now, this passage says this. How can you tell true prophet from the false prophet. The true prophet had to be right 100% of the time. If he was wrong once, he was a false prophet, and you killed him. So, that's how you know. The true prophet had to be right 100% of the time. Start there. Do the prophet's words come true? God promises to always tell the truth. And since he knows everything, he never has to guess. If someone claims to speak his words, they will get it right because they are getting it directly from him. Close doesn't count with God. It must be meticulously correct, 100% correct. It also has to agree with the other things God has revealed. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 3 says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, that's a good title, arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, a so-called miracle, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. Then you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So what the Bible is saying, even if the prophet seems to perform a miracle, don't believe the prophecy if it's not consistent with what God has already revealed about himself. God would never tell people to go after other gods. No true prophet of God would ever say such a thing. The bottom line is that God does not contradict himself. With just those two requirements, it's a miracle that any of the prophets survived. God set his standard high to filter out all the fakes. His word had to be reliable as himself. And it is. That God chose to speak to us proves his loving care. He's not aloof. He's interested. Christians don't just believe that God exists. We believe that he has spoken to us and revealed absolute truth. He has not left us in silent darkness. He has given us the light of his word. And his word allows us to know, to follow, and to love Jesus. And that is something to be thankful for every day of the year. Happy Thanksgiving. Every day of the year. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1, we'll start at verse 21. Moreover, the one who strengthens us here are the communicators of the Word of God, specifically it's the Apostle Paul and Pastor Teacher Timothy and Pastor Teacher Titus, together with you, and you are believers in Corinth who have positive volition and genuine humility in Christ and has anointed us with the Holy Spirit is God. The word to strengthen there is bebaiao. Beba'o means to make firm, to stabilize, to strengthen. And the a'o ending is causative. God causes the believer to be strengthened. How does God cause the believer to be strengthened? Through grace, perspicacity. And this strengthening isn't on your body. It isn't the muscles on the outside of your body. Nothing wrong, I guess, with having muscles. Some people get, some guys spend all their time in front of a mirror trying to see what they look like. And they do all of this putting muscle on the body, but it really, there's no crowns and reward for muscles on your body. Now, there's no crowns and reward for fat on your body either, just let you know that. It's being strengthened in here. And how are you strengthened in here? Grace, perspicacity. You have, in the church age, we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. It's intensified because the attack is not on the line of Christ. That's over. That was Old Testament. It's not on Jesus Christ himself. That was hypostatic union. He's already won the strategic victory of the cross, been buried, resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of God the Father. And then on the day of Pentecost, Satan, the ruler of this world, got a shock he never, ever knew anything about. You see, the church age is a mystery, mysterion. Nothing revealed about it in the Old Testament scriptures. Satan had no clue. And all of a sudden on Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every believer was indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, making the body a temple for the indwelling of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And Satan was totally flabbergasted, shocked. Every single believer is indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh. Now he had to shift gears. He never even anticipated this. Knew nothing about it. Now the attack had to go to every single believer. For the first time ever in human history, this is the only dispensation where the attack is on every single believer. This is the only dispensation where every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. Universal indwelling of the Spirit only in the church age. Why? So that you can be filled with the Spirit. Why? For the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Why? So you can live this unique spiritual life, which you have to have. You have to have a unique spiritual life because now you are under attack. The invisible war of the angelic conflict, Ephesians 6:10-17. You're all in a war. You're all in an invisible war. And you will be a casualty. You will lose and crash and burn unless you live this unique spiritual life, which is a supernatural way of life. Supernatural. You can't live it. You can't live it on your own. You can't live it by human energy of the flesh, your own ability, your own talent. You can only live it by the power of God. By the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God. So we are living in the most unique time in all of human history. The a'o ending of Beba'o is causative. God causes the believer to be strengthened through grace perspicacity. Two teachers in this dispensation. You all have two teachers. You need to be under the authority of these two teachers. One is the pastor teacher. Poimen didaskalos, Ephesians 4:11-16. You need to be under the authority of a poimen didaskalos, pastor teacher, who teaches the logos of the Word of God. And then as he teaches the Logos of the Word of God, you have a second teacher. The teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit takes the teaching of the Logos by the pastor and then teaches pneumaticos, spiritual truth, to your human spirit. So that now you can comprehend exactly what the Word of God says. And then it's up to you. You have a free will. You can believe it or you can reject it. If you reject it, then you go nowhere. You have no spiritual momentum. You have no spiritual growth, no spiritual advance. And you're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's up to you. You can believe it or you can reject it. When you believe it, it goes into the heart and becomes Sophia in the Greek, Chokhma in the Hebrew, wisdom. And wisdom, by the filling of the Spirit, can apply the absolute truth of the Word of God skillfully and accurately to every situation and circumstance in your life. Now, if you don't have wisdom, there's nothing the Holy Spirit can do. He applies the absolute truth of the Word of God when you consistently and faithfully learn, believe. See, what is believing? You're eating it. That's what metabolizing means. You have to eat it to metabolize it. You believe it. When you believe it, you eat it. It's metabolized, it goes into the heart, and now God the Holy Spirit, through the filling of the Spirit, can apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. So the A-O ending is causative. God causes the believer to be strengthened. How? Through grace perspicacity. The teaching ministry of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher in combination with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is becoming strong, being strengthened in here, in the inner man, by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, the grace and the truth of the Word of God. The articular participle is substantival, functioning as a noun, and it's translated the one who makes firm, the one who stabilizes, the one who strengthens. Moreover, to the one who strengthens us, communicators of the Word of God in the church age, in the pre-canon period of the church age, it was the apostles, Apostle Paul. In the post-canon period of the church age, it emphasized the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Together with you, positive believers with genuine humility in Corinth, in Christ, and has anointed us, is God. The word anoint is creo. Creo means to anoint. The noun chrismon means anointing. Most of the time in the ancient world, when you have a creo, it was used for someone being anointed with oil. But the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, used this word in a very special way for the anointing of every church age believer with God the Holy Spirit. Creo then refers to the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer, which serves as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The primary objective of the anointing with the Holy Spirit has three parts. Part one, to provide a temple in your body for the indwelling of the other two members of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The indwelling of the Trinity provides motivation for the attainment of the spiritual objectives of the spiritual life. Part two, to provide a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. Part three, to provide a base of operation for the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit to get maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And this is how we are strengthened, bebaiao, in our inner man. So anointing is a synonym for the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the church age. The Apostle Paul is teaching that in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle John taught that in 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27. The exact same doctrine. Moreover, the one who strengthens us, communicators, apostles, pastors, in the church age, together with you, positive believers in Christ, and has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, is God. And that brought us to verse 22. The one who also sealed us, and that is the verb sphragizo. It's an articular participle and substantival functioning as a noun. The one who also sealed us. Sphragizo literally means to provide with a seal. Figuratively, it means to seal up something or to mark with a seal. Sealing was a means of identification and ownership. Sealing included protection and security provided by the owner, and the owner is God. You now belong to God. You've been bought, and you now belong to Him. The objects being sealed by God, accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, is us, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sealing in the ancient world was a signature guarantee. Sealing was tantamount to a signature, which was tantamount to a guarantee. When a king sealed a proclamation, that proclamation became law. When people signed a contract by using a wax seal, and they would have a signet ring, how did they sign? They took that signet ring and bam, punched it into that wax seal. And that was their guarantee from their integrity that they would fulfill their part. Sealing as a signature was used as a guarantee of transactions, authentication of invoices, contracts, laws, directives, orders, policies of kings and rulers. The sealing of tombs and libraries and treasuries indicated ownership. Sealing was also used to ratify treaties and agreements. So let's note the sealing guarantee of God the Holy Spirit. The sealing guarantee of God the Holy Spirit. One, the sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit, this is one of His salvation ministries, the sealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit is His signature guarantee that first of all, your name will be in the book of life forever. Now, every single member of the human race starts out in the book of life. But if a person dies physical death without believing in Jesus Christ, his name is blotted out of the book of life. But it starts out, every single human being is in the book of life. But if they go through physical life and without believing in Christ, their name is blotted out. So for those who die without believing in Christ, their name is blotted out of the book of life. Two, God the Holy Spirit seals or guarantees that your faith alone in Christ alone is effective for eternal salvation. God the Holy Spirit seals or guarantees that your faith alone in Christ alone is effective for eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Goes right along with eternal life. For the life of me, I cannot understand how anyone can say you can lose your salvation. when God gives you the gift of eternal life, if you could lose your salvation, why would he call it eternal life? Why doesn't he call it, for some, it could be 2 second life, a minute life, 5 year life, until you do what you think is so terrible. You have to be the dumbest person walking on the earth or the most arrogant person walking on the earth to think you can lose your salvation. And you're really maligning God. He uses terms like eternal because it's eternal. You're making that God doesn't know what he's doing. 3. So again, point 2, God the Holy Spirit seals or guarantees that your faith alone in Christ alone is effective for salvation. 3. This is called efficacious grace. Efficacious grace. God the Holy Spirit takes the unbeliever's faith alone in Christ alone and makes it effective for salvation. God the Holy Spirit guarantees his ministry of making that faith effective for eternal salvation. 4. God the Holy Spirit puts his seal on the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit puts his seal on the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Five, the Holy Spirit guarantees eternal life. He guarantees eternal life at the point of salvation to everyone who believes in Christ. And he does this by the creation of a human spirit to which God the Father imputes eternal life. So God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. What is that called? Regeneration. You're born again. As an unbeliever, your body and soul, but you're spiritually dead. At the moment of faith in Christ, you're palingenesia. You're born again. And I hear people say, I'm a born again believer. Well, if you're a believer, you're born again. If you're born again, you're a believer. And if you're a born again believer, you're a redundant believer. But you're a believer. Paul in Galatia, we're born again at the moment of faith in Christ. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. Now you're trichotomous. Now you're not simply body and soul. Now you're body, soul, and human spirit. And now God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. 6. God the Holy Spirit seals that eternal life. God the Holy Spirit seals that eternal life. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now we're living in the dispensation of the church age. We have the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every church age believer, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body. Now, you know this, you should know this. The indwelling of the Spirit is in the body. The filling of the Spirit is in your soul. The indwelling is in your body. The filling is in your soul, your heart. And we're going to see that in our passage. The indwelling of the Spirit is reality. It's a fact. You can never lose that. That's permanent forever and ever and ever. The indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, you can lose that. When you make a bad decision to sin, you not only enter into Satan's cosmic system, but you are grieving the Holy Spirit and or quenching the Holy Spirit. grieving the Holy Spirit, functioning in cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, quenching the Holy Spirit, functioning in cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Now in verse 30, Ephesians 4:30, we have a mandate. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You can't live the unique spiritual life when you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. The whole reason why you're indwelt by the Spirit of God is so that you can live, have the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. But you can't live the spiritual life of the church age when you're grieving the Holy Spirit, because now you're in Satan's cosmic system. So stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed. Sealed by God the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. And this is the sanctification, ultimate sanctification, the redemption of the body at the rapture. You have eternal life. 7. There is nothing that you nor all the powers of hell can ever do to cancel this guarantee. There is nothing that you nor all the powers of hell can ever do to cancel this guarantee. 8. God the Holy Spirit guarantees the eternal security of the believer at the moment of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. God the Holy Spirit guarantees the eternal security of the believer at the moment of salvation. And that means I hear people, well, I believed in Christ, but now I know better and I renounce that. I don't believe that at all. Okay, so what? You think because you open your mouth and say, well, I no longer believe in Christ, that you now are no longer saved, or you no longer have eternal life? No, it just means, again, you're just a stupid idiot. And you're going to be shocked. When you die, you're going to be in heaven. Wait, you can tell Jesus Christ when you get there, I'm not supposed to be here. I renounced you. I should be in hell. Could you please send me to hell? You can't renounce your faith in Christ and then no longer be saved. You can't undo what God has done. I mean, that makes you greater than God if you can undo what God has done. 9. God the Holy Spirit guarantees the redemption of the body on the day of redemption, the day of your resurrection, the rapture. God the Holy Spirit guarantees the redemption of the body on the day of redemption, the day of your resurrection, the rapture. So there, redemption in the Bible is related to two parts of you. The redemption of your soul and the redemption of your body. Redemption of your soul is freedom from the slave market of sin. You were redeemed, you were purchased out of the slave market of sin. And that occurs at the moment of salvation or faith in Jesus Christ, and there's many passages that teach this. In our Sunday morning class, Romans 3:24, being declared righteous, plus R, that is, receiving justification, phase one justification, as a gift by means of His grace through the redemption, which is, and where is this redemption? In Christ Jesus. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. What happens at the moment of faith in Christ? God the Holy Spirit baptizes you. See, you've all been baptized. Every believer has been baptized, spirit baptism. The moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes you into union with Christ. And there you have redemption. You've been purchased out of the slave market of sin. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now remember, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And who are the Corinthians? They're the most reversionistic evil. They invented every category of reversionism possible and even some new ones. And they have eternal security. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Paul writes to them, "It's because of Him, God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus." He's talking to the believers in Corinth. Now they're reversionists, they're degenerate, they're living in the cosmic system, they're walking in darkness every way possible. But it's because of Him, God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus. God the Father designed this magnificent plan for the church age, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Turn over to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. And all of these are passages relating to redemption of the soul, freedom from the slave market of sin, which occurs at the moment of faith in Christ. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, by going to the cross and being imputed with the sins of the whole world and judged for those sins. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Turn over to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, saving work on the cross, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. In whom, in union with Christ, in whom, Jesus Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 1:18. First Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, His salvation work on the cross, the Lamb without blemish or defect, the impeccability of Jesus Christ. So there are many passages reveal and talk about the redemption of the soul. And the Bible talks about redemption of the body. And the redemption of the body will occur at the rapture, at our the resurrection of the royal family of God. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies occurs at the resurrection of the royal family at the rapture. 10. All the sealing ministries of the Holy Spirit are equal in force. All the sealing ministries of the Holy Spirit are equal in force. This means God is infinitely fair with all believers. The sealing ministries of the Holy Spirit are the same for all believers. This gives every church age believer equal privilege and equal opportunity. God not only sealed the great, the mighty, but also the weak as well. 11. Characteristics of sealing. Characteristics of sealing. Four characteristics. One, the signature guarantee of the Holy Spirit's ministry of efficacious grace. The signature guarantee of the Holy Spirit's ministry of efficacious grace, making our faith in Jesus Christ effective for eternal salvation. The signature guarantee of the Holy Spirit's ministry of efficacious grace, making our faith in Jesus Christ effective for eternal salvation. Two, the signature guarantee of eternal life to every believer in Christ. The signature guarantee of eternal life to every believer in Christ. Three, the signature guarantee of eternal security to every believer in Christ. The signature guarantee of eternal security to every believer in Christ. Four, the signature guarantee of the retaining of the name of every church age believer in the book of life forever. The signature guarantee of the retaining of the name of every church age believer in the book of life forever. So verse 22 says, the one who also sealed us. So 21 and 22, moreover, the one who strengthens us, the communicators of God's word, together with you, positive believers with humility in Christ, and has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, is God. The one who also sealed us, and then we have, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Now this is very important. Notice, here is the Spirit, given the Spirit in our hearts. The indwelling of the Spirit is in the body. The filling of the Spirit is the heart. This is very, very important. So we have the conjunction chi plus the aorist active participle of the verb didomi plus the accusative singular of arabon, with the definite article, plus the genitive singular pneuma with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative plural of cardia with the definite article, and the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now we start out with the connective chi, and it's correctly translated and. And then we have the verb didomi. D-I-D long O-M-I. Didomi. Didomi means to give. To give, to grant, to send. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist. And the aorist tense, if you're emphasizing the beginning, that's called an ingressive aorist. If you're looking at the whole picture, that's called the consonative aorist. If you're looking at the culmination, that's called the culminative aorist. We have the culminative aorist, a principle from the culminative aorist. The culmination of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer, the culmination of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer as the signature guarantee of eternal life is to also provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit in our hearts, which is the power to live the spiritual life of the church age. So this culminative aorist is very, very important. And that's why we have it here with the Spirit in our, giving the Spirit in our hearts. So the culmination of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer as the signature guarantee of eternal life is to also provide a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit in our hearts, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The active voice, God the Father performs the action of the verb in every church age believer. The participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb, sphragizo, to seal. And then we have this neat word, a legal technical term and a commercial technical term, arabone. Looks like that in the Greek, A-R-R-A-B-long-O-N, arabone. All right, a couple of things. One, arabone is a legal technical term. It's also a commercial technical term. Two, literally it means the first installment or deposit or down payment or a pledge. First installment, deposit, down payment, pledge. In other words, you pay a part of the purchase price in advance. And so secures a legal claim to the article in question, or it makes a contract valid. Now I know I'm teaching this tonight. You might notice that my Hummer's not out there. My Hummer has the same problem that I'm facing. Wearing out. And I dropped it off the other day, and I told them, well, the easy thing, change the oil. No problem. I can. You don't have to make a down payment when you pay a change of oil. I got an oil leak up in the front there. It's running really rough and making a racket. And when I drove in, the guy gets in and he starts it up. He goes, "Whoa!" He says, "That's not good." I said, "Yeah, well, my wife was right with it." She says, "This thing really running rough." I said, "Okay, well, we'll get it in." And they have a specialist. I go to Finley. Woo! I go to Finley, and they got a Hummer specialist at Finley. Anyway, the guy called me today, and he said, is that engine in your Hummer the original engine? I said, of course it is. You have 300,000 miles on that engine. I said, it's a miracle. He said, it is a miracle. Nobody has an original engine that has 300,000 miles on it. I said, well, you've seen it. He said, you need a new engine. I said, okay. Am I the 1 millionth customer and I get it free? No. I said, well, how much is that going to cost? He gave me the figure. I said, okay. I said, well, that Hummer is the best vehicle I've ever owned in my entire life. I don't want another one. I don't want another vehicle. I said, the Hummer is just like me. I'm wearing out in all kinds of parts, and the Hummer's wearing out. But we need to get a new engine in there. He said, okay. I said, now you say new engine. Is it a new engine or a used engine that's been rebuilt? Well, he says General Motors gets them and rebuilds them all. Okay. But with the cost of it, you're going to have to pay an arm and a bone. I know exactly what Arabone is. I said, well, how much is the Arabone? That's a big bone. Arabone. I said, okay, well, I'll send my wife down tomorrow. She has all the money anyway. We'll give you an Arabone. He says, we won't even order it. We have to have an Arabone, a down payment, a deposit, a pledge. Okay, well, it's on your way. I said, we'll give you that and then put it in and we'll keep trucking. I said, that Hummer has gone on more hunting trips where there were no roads. I've taken that where there are no roads. That's why I got it. I've taken Harlan a ride in it, and all the way along, oh, Dick, no, oh, no, you're going to put a hole, oh, don't, no, don't, Brad, oh, no, you're going to put a hole in the pan, oh, no. I said, it's got a skid plate, not to worry. Oh, you're going to get hung up. I said, oh, don't do. And so the more he did that, the more I just kept going all the way to the top of the mountain. And he complained all the way up to the top. And then he said, nobody would be crazy enough to come up here except you. And then on the way down, we ran into Chris Jones. So there is somebody crazy enough to do that. He's also in this church. I said, that's gone on hunting trips you would never believe, fishing trips. 300,000 miles, and it's the original engine. He said, well, I'll just tell you right up front, we never see an original engine that old. I said, well, you don't see too many human beings as old as I am either. So three, Arabone is a payment that obligates the contracting party to make further payments. Arabone is a payment that obligates the contracting party to make further payments. Four. figuratively, God the Father has deposited the first installment of the Spirit in our hearts, the filling of the Spirit. Remember, the indwelling is in the body, the filling of the Spirit's in the heart. God the Father has deposited the first installment of the Spirit in our hearts. That's the filling of the Spirit. Why? As the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. God the Father has deposited the first installment of the Spirit in our hearts, the filling of the Spirit, as the divine power. Spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power to live it. And that is the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So God the Father has deposited the first installment of the Spirit in our hearts, the filling of the Spirit, as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The genitive singular of pneuma P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma, is Spirit. This is God, the Holy Spirit. Entis cardiais haemon, in our hearts. And that's the filling of the Holy Spirit to live the unique spiritual life. So the corrected translation. The one who also sealed us and gave the Spirit in our hearts, the filling of the Spirit, as a down payment for the power to live the spiritual life. So verses 21 and 22 is amazing. Moreover, the one who strengthens us, the communicators of the Word of God in the church age, together with you, positive believers with humility in Christ, and has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, is God. The one who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts, the filling of the Spirit, as a down payment for the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.